Hi, Sebastian.
How are you?
I'm okay.
You okay?
Yeah.
So, Emily, I want to know that you tell us where we are right now.
Okay, well, firstly, I'd like to thank Margie for inviting us here. This is normally her time slot, and she is doing it as a kind of Berlin edition, because she will be in Berlin while this is being aired, and we currently live in Berlin. And so we are in Berlin, we are in Prenzlauer Berg, which is on the east side of the wall.
That fell down 25 years ago?
I think it's...
26, 25 yeah, years ago?
I think it's still a legitimate thing to say.
Oh yeah.
And Sebastian, he does journalism for German radio, and so he has a lot of equipment and stuff like that, and so he set up a little DJ station in our kitchen. Personally, I'm a big fan of reality television in general, but one of these reality shows is called Gigolos, and it's about gigolos and their interactions, sexually, primarily interactions, of course, with various people. And Margie is on the show. It's totally great. She's like in some sort of strange, like, condominium that I don't know really where she did it or how. Yeah, and it's quite, the show is quite uncensored and shows a lot of the actual sex and stuff like that. And Margie is an extremely enthusiastic participant. And when I asked her how the sex was, she was like, well, I mean, he's trained in the ways of female pleasure, you know, so. Apparently it was great sex, and she'll be showing it, and I'm sure it'll bring down the house.
So Emily, who are you?
You got that from Nardwuar. Right? Yeah.
I don't know.
You did?
Unconsciously.
This is basically the same question as, what do you do? Yeah, I mean, I'm an artist. I'm a visual artist. I do drawings and paintings, pen and ink and oils. The drawings are kind of on the dark side and with a lot of scritchy scratchies. It was taught to me in art school, and it's generally known as cross-hatching. It's like intersecting pen marks, like chick, chick, chick one way, and then over it, chick, chick, chick the other way.
So this is the technique that you're using for years?
Yeah, been using it for years. And actually, if you look at Art Crumb, he's also using cross-hatching as well.
Okay.
So you can't fight with, you can't argue with Crumb.
Visual artist. That's how you say that.
I call myself. Yeah, when people ask me what I do, I say I'm a visual artist.
Okay.
And yourself?
I work with sound, and I work with people's voices. With sometimes it's interviews, sometimes it's conversations. I work with computer sounds and with samples. Of music, and sometimes I work with musicians and they play something for me and I use the sound of their instruments and then I arrange it and make music out of it. for example, what we're hearing in the background, this is still a work in process piece, just some kind of adaptation of a song by John Fay, which name is Fear and Loathing at Fort at Butternut, and I called it Fear and Loathing in Germany. Creating those radio features, those 1 hour long radio features for German public radio with different focus, and then I end up researching a topic, and then I meet people. I go somewhere to a place. I meet people. I try to meet as many people as possible and to talk with them, and then I record our conversations, and based on that I create the scripts. And
do you write music specifically to go into these broadcasts?
Yeah, sometimes. I mean, it depends. I mean, how much time is left, how much energy and how much ideas you have. Some I end up reusing certain fragments of previous works, and sometimes you just have an idea and it's just you know that I want to have it like that because it will fit there, you know. So, for example, when I did the piece on Detroit, so I just said it in my mind, I want to make kind of a track which is kind of an influence on Detroit techno, so I just start to using some beats, and it was clear that I want to create something. I mean, I'm not doing techno music, but for this occasion I wanted to make a techno track, so I just did it.
What is techno?
Some kind of filters on.
Well, I don't know. And,
from our minds to yours.
You said before that certain artists are saying that art doing is keeping them sane. What is art doing with you? What is art doing for what is art doing for you and with you?
I need something to justify my existence, to make me feel like my life is worthwhile. Mm. I need to have something to show for it. And art was just something that I had a gift for. Mm. Art is just something that follows me into whatever kind of mental state I happen to be in, you know, which is sometimes insanity. Specific aspects of that can be seen in the art that I make at those points. When I'm not in those scenarios, I do use art therapeutically. You know, it's where I address pain and conflicts within myself, is through the artwork. I mean, a lot of artists are working or addressing through their work identity issues. And
yeah,
the most important identity issues to them, you know, race, gender, sexuality, stuff like that. And for me, my identity is totally wrapped up in mental illness and being bipolar.
Okay.
I mean, it's on my mind constantly.
Okay.
And it's absolutely just totally derailed and re-railed the course of my life. And I can't talk about artwork without talking about it. I mean, sometimes I try, you know, because it's been suggested to me by various people, including arts professionals and psychiatrists and so on, that it's not something that you should tell people, you know?
You should not tell what?
You shouldn't tell people that you're bipolar, you know? Just tell them you're an artist, you know? Like, they don't need to know that. But that's not true. You know, because I don't know any other way of, it's a huge part of my identity and it's a huge part of my work as well.
Your current output period, like which are the oil paintings, when I look at them, I would never identify, even me knowing you, I would never identify there anything mental illness related in those.
Well, first of all, that's thanks in part to a prolonged period of stability, you know, which I never had before. I mean, the one painting, the loser painting, which, I mean, that's wrapped up in it, you know.
Can you describe it so we now can...
It's a kind of, like, hip-looking girl with, like, kind of half-dyed hair and kind of interesting clothing, standing outdoors in a kind of, like, sun-dappled Tibetan flag-decorated background, making the loser sign on her forehead. You know, it's very well known. You hold up your hand in the shape of an L and you put it on your forehead. It hasn't gotten to Germany.
No.
Yet.
No.
But this is one of the few kind of like fully engendered ideas that I had in my head before I even started. A girl who looks like someone you would want to be or you would want to be friends with. You know, like in a place that looks like a place you would want to go and you would want to be accepted into a, you know, or going to a party there or whatever. And she's holding up the loser sign, basically saying like, you're loser.
Fuck up.
You're a fucking loser. No, you won't have it. No, you won't be me. No, just, you know, you're a loser. You can't hide from people that you're a loser. And there you go. So.
But you know, but it's still silently, you know, it's not like, it's not as, let's say, urgent, like with all those drawings that I'm having in my hanging in the bigger room, you know, on the wall, like, the one that you, drew when you were totally hallucinating, manic, and just like delusional. So,
yeah, I mean, there are several categories that the work falls into the based on mental states.
Yeah.
You know, there's depression. There's,
which mostly, first of all, the depression follows the crash from being delusional and manic, right?
That's part of it. Yeah.
I would start with for me the beginning, if there is a beginning, because it's a spinning circle anyway, but the mania come first. And then,
I wouldn't say that. I think that generally speaking, I'm more on the depressed side, and I'm generally when I'm working out of depression, and then that leads into mania, and then that goes to psychosis, and then whatever, the cycle starts again. But
used to,
yeah. So these
don't act like you're anticipating this circle.
No, I'm not.
Good,
so
yeah.
No, luckily, you know, thanks in a large part to Sebastian and his love and support, I am enjoying an extended period of not just sanity, but also I would say I'm not depressed. You know, which is something that I never thought would happen for me, that I would just, you know, be a functional, stable person. Yeah.
And this is how long?
How long has it been like that?
Yeah, without, not manic and but also not depressed.
Not good with time.
Say something.
I don't know, a year and a half, maybe.
Yeah, uh-huh. Okay.
I mean, the whole bipolar thing is like such a foundation of who I am, that the person that I am that's making those aesthetic and conceptual choices is also still tied up in that. But I don't really know how to really even talk about that work in the way that I know how to talk about the stuff.
But which
From when I was bipolar. This new stuff, like these...
don't know how to talk about
No,
it?
Not really. I mean, it's portraiture, essentially.
Yeah.
Art is something you can always work within traditions, you know, and they still have a place.
Like tradition what?
Like this traditional portraiture.
Mm.
You know, I mean, it's like... Yeah, it's been going on since the beginning of paint, but now you can reflect the current culture. You know, like you can see that, and I think that's true for these portraits. Like they're current looking.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have this the song that we both listening and singing a lot for many years already, and the title of the song is called Tennis.
Oh, okay.
Tennis. Oh, tennis.
Can you tell me something about the song?
So we went to this show and this guy was just like a total lounge lizard, I think you could call him, just singing these really kind of like a really sultry, sexy song, but he's singing about tennis, which is just great.
Well, we have to mention his name.
Franz
van Rijden.
That was very cute.
Well, yeah, he was very much irritated. After I said how much I like
show you. Oh, I think, no. You know, he's just nervous and just didn't want to talk to strangers, I think, you know, because we both jumped on him.
Yeah, we did.
You know, we both did. He was walking by and we both jumped on him. I was like, even though you could hear him say tennis, 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 still couldn't even really believe that he was saying tennis. I thought, you know, maybe he was saying something else. And so I was like, were you saying tennis? And he was like, yes. And then just got away from us as best as he could.
That's true.
Yeah.
But then there's this thing that we kind of more or less did together. Also, I know also that this is more kind of a mind project that I pulled you into it, which I named Gulden.
Right.
So what is Gulden?
Gulden is, how many of them are there? 8?
11.
Oh my god. But Gulden, the word,
yeah,
is this currency.
Yeah, Gulden. Gulden was the Dutch currency before the euro came in.
Well, they are 11 one of a kind. There's only one in existence of each one of these 11 releases. They're records.
Records, yeah.
Yeah, they're records.
Like this 12-inch mm-hmm. records.
And the inside of this, the sleeve, the record cover is gold. Each one is essentially music that Sebastian has kind of taken from his hard drive and perfected that were not included on any of his releases as a Climac.
Basically said, it's all unpublished work, and I just decided to get rid of that and just to finish it, and to, because it was stuck in my way. It was just lying there, and I was always stumbling over that and always stumbling over that.
And these albums are not for sale and are not available online.
Yeah, there won't be any digital copies of them.
But the only way that you'd be able to hear this music is if you invite Sebastian to play a concert or whatever.
Or if you just come here and I play you a track from that. I mean, if you come here, just sit on our couch, and you just tell me, oh, this cover actually looks interesting. I would like to hear something from this one, and then I play something for you. Or the other people, they gonna say, hey, how about you bring this stuff and we hang them on the wall and whatever. And I don't know, you know, just I have no idea. It just, this is the thing, you know, because I was just thinking about recently, you know, I was just not thinking what will happen to them. First of all, there was just this urgency to make it.
But the idea, though, you're offering for consumption. We've made these one-of-a-kind albums, you know, and they only belong to us.
And these days, I react allergic to that, is this, what I would say, this over-availability of music, of stuff, you know, of buttons, play buttons, play here, click here, but just like nobody, I have the feeling nobody's really listening just to the end. You just keep on clicking, listening for a couple of seconds, and you already click the next button, and it's just like it's an overkill, and it's just like I have the feeling there's just like way more content than people can even consume. It's just like I'm overwhelmed, and it's killing me. It's all falling on my head, and it's just too much, just simply too much. And this is a reaction. And well, just talking about this, we haven't said the most essential part right now. Also, that you were the person who drew on top of those white records jackets. You drew certain motifs that we both kind of a little bit more or less developed together. Mm-hmm. A little bit, maybe I.
Well, you chose all of the images.
That's true.
And I actually never heard you talk about it in that way, just this whole proliferation of material that's out there these days.
The thing is just like also that we have so many in our artistic expression glorifying society of self-expressionism, individualism. So this is creating automatically and crazy output, you know. Everybody's just doing something.
Yeah.
Everybody, I mean these days you can DJ with your iPhone. You can have DJ software where you can DJ with your thumb. So you know. So and the same it applies to music, you know. You can just do some rumble bumble sounds, you know, with just pressing one button, and then you can record it, and then you edit it, and then you put it on somewhere.
Yeah, I'm kind of just waiting to see what's gonna come about that's gonna make painting obsolete, that's gonna fuck me over, you know.
Yeah, this is the question. I mean, I don't know if this is fucking up anything. I mean, that we can be replaced with certain things. I mean, there have been already computer painting and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, there are these programs and stuff like that, but it's just not.
And you have it in Chappie. Remember, you have it in Chappie, the movie, the Antwoord, where Chappie is drawing. He's doing all this quick movement, this kind of like airbrush thing, and he's just drawing. Remember, like this. Like,
I don't remember that specifically.
Yolandi is teaching him how to do that.
He's a child.
Well, I mean, so I'm definitely not afraid of technology swallowing me or something like that. Whatever, it's just too much content, you know. And even if I would find labels at the same time, like what, to convince some different labels to release 11 albums by me, it's just too much, you know. So it's kind of a maybe, I don't know, it's then becoming personal and it's intentionally over the top. You hear here in the background is a piece I did with a Polish musician, saxophone player and electronic equipment user Gerhard Lebig from the city of Wrocław, and we did a recording session with some of his friends on drums and on trumpet. I have now the records here, mm-hmm. And I will pass some of them, maybe not all of them, and I want that you just describe them. This is Gulden number one.
Gulden number one. Okay. Well, it's written Klimek, and the title of the album is Lapidarium, which means
oh, I have to say it.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't know?
I forgot. Monument? No, it's not monument.
No, this is
or like this rock, is like a rock pile or something.
No, it's a gallery of mostly ancient old type of fragments of architecture, like of, let's say, a building, you know, just like pillars. So they just ended up in this gallery, and they just there as a fragments taken out of those probably destroyed by time wars, mm-hmm. and etc.
Well, there's fragments of two statues. The one in the foreground is a hand or holding a hammer and sickle, and then there's one behind it that's just part of a figure, but they're made from stone, looks like.
So. Yeah. So what we see there is just basically a fragment of the statue, which was the symbol for Moskva Film, that was the Soviet Union main film company, like let's say it was a kind of like symbol, like the pendant to the Columbia lady with the, like, you know, like the Statue of Liberty girl and at the beginning of movies, or the Roaring Lion. So, and they were just, so it was like a couple, like it was, I think her name is the Kolchoz girl, so the girl working in an agricultural Kolchoz, which was those factories, state-owned factories, agricultural factories, and the guy, I don't know, I think he was also a worker, and they both holding hammer and sickle ahead of them, and the statue was spinning, and so it was a very well-known symbol for Soviet film production. And I think some 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, after the so-called fall down of the Soviet Union, so they dismantled them. They were out of metal, they were metal plates, so you know, nobody wanted to identify with the old symbols. And but right now for the Olympic Games in Sochi, they reconstructed it again, because Putin brought kind of a new en vogue, or brought, I think, the memories of the Soviet Union in his own way a little bit en vogue. So for this ceremony, for the opening ceremony of the Sochi Winter Games, they demonstrated how they putting the statue together, and this is what you draw on the backside of it. So now, so when you flip the record over, there you see the fragments which were floating in this opening ceremony, how they assembling them together to the whole. Yeah. So this was my take on the lapidarium issue. You know, I mean how things come, how things fall apart. Getting dismantled by people and how they get put together, and you know, I could refer it to my compositions, which I find very, they had something monumental in them. Some of them were just kind of like big, or some of the tracks I called monoliths, like some gigantic rocks or like muddy rock. I called one piece and.
I think the obvious metaphor is taking fragments of things and putting them together.
Yeah,
you know, taking things apart and putting them back together in different ways.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. So, yeah, so this is, for example, one of them. What you listen in the background is a track, A Lament, from my CD Movies is Magic, which was released 2009 on Anticipate Recordings. So right now this is Gulden number 8, what you're holding right now.
It's Gulden number 8. Oh,
this
okay.
This Gulden 8.
Yeah, okay. Well, this one is Pop Crimes Volume 2. And this is actually my favorite drawing of all of them.
Yeah, I can see that, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so
and it's Bill Cosby. And this one is
Pop Crimes.
Pop Crimes. this
Volume
is
two.
a pretty famous photograph at this point, I think.
Okay.
Because it really kind of captures his age, just like how much he's aged. Like his eyes are kind of not pointing in the same direction, and he has a lot of skin blemishes and gray hair and stuff like that. So that's, it's kind of, yeah, not very flattering, but. So it's just taken from that photograph.
So the titles I have used for that are Rise Up and Lynch Their Motherfucking Asses, Nocturnal Emission, Plastic Flower Paradise.
Wait, you know, Nocturnal Emission sounds like,
I know.
Okay.
Unconscious Moaning, Somnophilia, I Knew You Were Trouble, Stalker, Erotic Target Location Error, Street of Living Puke, Behind the Wall of Sleep, Decryphilia, Cruising in the Rain.
Nice poetics. poetics.
So I guess I don't need to say anything just about the titles and how they connect to having Bill on there and called Pop Crimes, which actually is my hidden quotation from one of my favorite artists and favorite albums I know, which is by Rowland S. Howard, and it's also called Pop Crimes.
Oh yeah.
And so, and on the back of the cover, when you flip it up, so can you read the quote?
On this, our planet of perpetual sorrows.
A sock puppet government left to its own device. The hand that used to hold my hand has grown bored of its delights. I guess that I won't see you tomorrow on this our planet of perpetual sorrows. Pop crimes. These were pop crimes. These were pop crimes.
So this is one. Maybe we can find one more.
Okay.
Which one you want to pick?
Me?
Yeah.
Picking one?
Maybe
the Fleischwerk.
Fleischwerk. You like to have the Fleischwerk? All right.
I like it as a... I like it as a drawing.
Good. All right. Well, Fleisch... Well, first of all, Fleisch is the German word for meat.
Yes.
And it's kind of like Fleischwerk. So, you know, I want a Kraftwerk. Fleischwerk. It's like the meat factory. Basically, you could, in the nice way, think that they are... The meat is growing there. Or like they're creating... They're creating meat. Well, in a certain aspect, they write. Those are composition I did mostly for a radio show. I just finalized them in a different way, which was about slaughterhouses, like big, big, big slaughterhouses here in Germany. It was a radio show on mass slaughter versus those kind of a lack of war, and vegetarianism was not discussed in this feature, but I used, like, I covered two songs, one by The Smiths, Meat is Murder, other by Nina Hagen and Lena Lovitch, Don't Kill the Animals. And maybe now you can describe what's on the cover.
Just from the chest down, I guess that one of these meat factory workers with a blood-spattered apron holding the head of a bull, in his hands.
With tiles?
Yeah, with tiles. With
in the
tiles
background,
in the background.
Just like this kind of a typical slaughterhouse atmosphere where you can...
I mean, when I think of vegetarianism meat eating, and I always think of this David Foster Wallace piece.
Considered the lobster.
Yeah, considering the lobster, where in the beginning he kind of discusses... his relationship, basically everybody he knows or whatever, who's like a caring, conscious kind of person who eats meat, has a conflicted relationship with meat eating,
yeah.
You know, and kind of feels like they shouldn't, or they should be vegetarian, or that they should be getting, you know, or like if they do, they should be getting all of their meat like from these locally sourced, very, you know, sources that they know are humane, but... whatever, and that's definitely true for myself. Like, it's, I can't watch one of these, I can't watch an animal being killed or any of these videos or whatever without just like crying and crying. But I still eat meat, and so do you.
Yeah, yes, I mean, absolutely.
So
yeah,
I think
it's as you said, yeah, exactly. I definitely reduced my meat consumption a lot. After this visit,
mm-hmm.
I think it was absolutely. I mean, I think this was really a very strong experience.
Because you also learned not only, you know, that the how they're manipulating these products and making them bigger and so on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is what happens. This is then happened. What's the meat factory is doing with this?
It's awful, with this substance,
and you know, by the end of the day, it's just like, you know, they will create even out of the bones something, you know. You know, there is traces of animals are going all over. I mean, like, did you know that just popcorn that's you're buying in cinemas is consisting of pig lard. I mean, I get to know.
I
found out already about it quite a long time
ago.
Also,
it's also how you make a really great pie crust.
For example, you know, anyway, so, you know, it's just basically how you just, in the most efficient way, how to just do anything out of those animals, you know, this process, the speed, you know, and how they're getting killed and put into pieces.
Well, it's also just their awful, horrible lives.
And it's it's kind of incredible. I mean, it's mostly incredible that we just are so much unconnected to this. To these places, and that we just don't know what's going on there. So, when you play in the show tracks and stuff, then I mean, of course, we can't omit of playing and mentioning our dear Barry Schwamm, aka Schwump. We always loved the track. It's called Crazy People.
It's very sweet.
It's very sweet. Why you think it's sweet?
Treating them kind and giving them time. It's just such a. It's so sweet. I mean.
It is.
You know?
He knows what, it seems like he knows what he's singing about.
Seems like he does, yeah.
Yeah, kind of.
He probably has some crazy brothers or friends or... I mean, that's the thing, is that everybody knows somebody. Or maybe not so much, I don't know.
Well, maybe, but it's just a matter how you deal with this kind of... Either you put it... Some people put it in a black box and just... Tape it up and just throwing it or put it somewhere in a shelf and just... Don't mention, don't touch it. This is how I know from the society I'm coming from, of a background, that how you dealt with those topics. But another great track by Schwump is Kick in the Butt.
Kick, kick, kick in the butt. All really need is a kick in the butt. Kick, 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 kick in the butt. Everybody needs is a kick in the butt. Oh, kick, 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 kick in the butt. Y'all need is a kick in the butt. Oh, kick, 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 kick in the butt. Everybody needs is a kick in the butt.
Yeah, kicking the butt is awesome.
What do you like about it?
It's just so true. Sometimes that's just what you need. You just need a kick in the butt. You know, what more can you say? I mean, it's not about like being brilliant or being great at what you do. It's just you just need to show up. You know, I mean, that's some famous quote from somebody. You know, 99% of it is just showing up. Just doing work and
kicking the butt.
You need to kick in the butt sometimes, or you're just gonna watch reality television all day.
You're
You know, we had this radio show that we did together. It was a lot of, or it was mostly about you, right?
Right.
So the title of it was All the Pretty Little Horses. What is this radio show about?
It's become, over the past, I don't know, decade or so, I think much more common and more accepted to identify as having depression or having bipolar disorder. But it very rarely exposes really just the kind of mental illness that puts people on the streets. You know, what's you don't hear from those people very much, a lot, because they don't make it through recovery. And when they do, they're ashamed to talk about the details. I have the version of this illness that is that extreme, where if I weren't treated, I would be locked up somewhere. These are conversations that we have together. We have this, you know, we have an intimate relationship, and, you know, you've experienced my actual psychosis and the real extremes of the illness. And so we have, you know, we have a more relaxed conversations about it. And so I think it's really kind of ends up being a really kind of intimate picture of what's going on. I think that you were doing kind of digging that you wouldn't ordinarily do, like a kind of trying to get to the sources of things that maybe we didn't do in our ordinary conversation. You know, just kind of like digging into my what the delusions are coming from, and about my family history, you know, that changed kind of the tone of our conversations.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I feel like that that doing this piece, for working on it so long, I mean, it was a lot for me, like some kind of a therapy.
Mm-hmm.
Just to, maybe because I had the time and stuff to dig in certain, and just to think about certain issues and ask you certain questions. And then you just, you know, you're editing this material, and you're writing the script and etc. And then you some things you just repeat more than once, and they just kind of are opening certain doors and how to look at things. So yeah, so for me it was definitely some kind of a therapy.
Yeah.
And what about for you? How did you experience all this? I mean, it was a kind of a lot, many months, you know, and with our trip, including our trip through the States, through the...
Yeah, I mean, when you ask if it was revealing of me or for me, it definitely was. I mean, when we were talking between the two of us, I didn't feel, you know, like I was delving into like dark secrets that you hadn't heard before, because I know that, I mean,
besides dropping your wedding ring,
right,
into the river, yeah.
Right, besides that.
Okay,
yeah, cool. But yeah, it's a really different thing to be having these conversations with you know, someone who you know on that kind of level, and then to listen to it with the ears of just out the outside. You know, and so, yeah, like I did kind of when we switched to kind of listening to it as a broadcast, I was like, oh, wow, they're like, this is really kind of private stuff, you know. So I did feel, sure, a little bit exposed, but I think that it's ultimately that it's for the best, you know, and that's what for me makes interesting art. You know, when something is revealed, you know.
which is your favorite scene in the radio show? Which one you like?
Well, I actually kind of the ones where we're just talking about just kind of like almost on the mundane side, you know, compared to the like the intensity of the topic.
Like,
you know, like where I'm talking about my dad screaming at the crickets and the frogs.
Oh, okay.
To shut up.
Oh, okay.
You know, when we're talking about the lightning bugs and when you're hearing this horsey, like in the dark. Well, I know it's in the dark. The context is it's in the dark, but we're hearing all of a sudden this like beast snorting right near you.
Mm.
You know.
Okay, hold on. Then I play it right now.
Oh, okay. Good.
Where are you? Ah, here. Do you remember that it was like that in, when you were living here?
Are these chokers and stuff like
yeah.
that? Yeah, it was.
And now the lightning bugs?
Yeah.
They were always?
Lightning bugs.
Oh boy.
I like lightning bugs.
You like them?
Yeah, of course. Who doesn't like lightning bugs?
I mean, like, if I would be like listening to the frogs, I mean, you know, when you're just like upset, lonely or something like that, or drunk. And I would be hearing children's voices and those frogs, man.
And actually, I will never forget this, but the first time that we sat around having dinner, like when we moved here, we were sitting at the table, and everything, all the frogs and crickets and everything were so loud.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know, I can't do it. My dad goes, "Shut up!" And seriously, all of them stopped for like 2 seconds, and then it all started again.
Besides the radio show, I, with your help, I also did those 3 ebooks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can you say something about those 3 ebooks and this different content in them?
Sure. Well, the first one is, I would say, a transcription almost of the conversation that we had.
It's like the extended script to the radio show. And all the stuff that didn't make it into because I had to shorten.
Right. And so there's sound files and there's also really fantastic photographs that you did on this trip. And the second one is page by page scans of this zine that I made. This is a zine that really documents the extremes of this illness. It was from notes that I was making throughout some psychosis and a hospitalization and then depression. I mean, it's really just the highs of the highs and the lows of the lows with drawings and notes. And because a lot of it is in some like kind of messy handwriting, and then on top of that, Xeroxes. You know, Xeroxes of this stuff, a lot of it's difficult to read. And so at the end of it, it's each page I wrote out the text that's in handwriting. The name of the zine is Tremors.
And why did you call it Tremors, the scene?
Well, some of the medication that I was on caused these really visible hand tremors, you know, and I was working at a diner during one of these kinds of recovery phases, and I was spilling water and stuff like that because my hands were shaking so much. So that's where it got its name.
Mm-hmm.
But a tremor is also something that people experience when they're scared, nervous. And the third book is from a short story written by my sister. It's a story that I kind of enjoy describing because I think it's so cool, as a science fiction story, in which this imaginary culture involves teenagers kind of as a coming of age lesson, adopting, quote, madmen into the family. I mean, my sister, of course, I mean, she's been really impacted by my illness, and I think this is a place where it's really come out. And that features a lot of my drawings, my black and white drawings, which I was working
So color drawings, we included color drawings. I mean, but they were all illness related.
Illness related, yeah.
Yeah, so it's kind of they should juxtapose. I mean, it's not straight the illustrations for your sister's short story, but
right, it's definitely not illustrative of her yeah. short story.
It's just like two sisters and two different experiences from two different angles, how to mm-hmm. address the topic of
and my sister wrote a foreword for this one.
Yeah as well. So, Emily, so I think we are at the end of our time at Margie's space.
Mm-hmm.
You are very welcome to visit our personal pages, which just simply goes by our first and last names. So my webpage is Sebastian, like my first name, and then just right after that, Meissner, which is written Meissner, .me.
And mine is Emily Hochman. That's Emily, Hochman.com.
And on Emily's page, you definitely find links to her iTunes store, where you can find the three iBooks we've been talking about. And also you can find a link to her Etsy store, where she's having very, very super cute t-shirts with very cool motifs, like for example the world famous puking crow. You can also buy some prints from Emily's drawings. And if you go to my webpage, you will find podcasts, and if you click on my discography there, then you also can see all the pictures from the Golden series. And well, if you have any other questions, you are very welcome to send us emails. All right,
bye
bye.